Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our treasure. Everything compared to him indeed is rubbish. Amen. Our text is the epistle, these powerful words of St. Paul from Philippians 3 about Christian living. Let's pray. Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit on your church and open our ears that we gladly hear your word and open our hearts that we receive it with faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear friends in Christ, let's get right down to business. What's the one thing we need to do? I know it's springtime and it's been warm weather, and I got this big to-do list of all these things I got to do since it's warm outside, house and yard and everything else. What's the one thing we need to do? What's the one thing we need to do? Listen to the words of Paul if you weren't paying attention. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Rip up that major to-do list and think of the one thing we must do as baptized Christians. Press on toward the goal. That summarizes St. Paul's life. How would you summarize your life? What's your life really all about, Christian? You're here on this earth. You're redeemed. You're saved. You're forgiven. You bear the name of Jesus. You say you're a Christian. Summarize your life. Well, sadly, for many of us, rather than saying, I press on toward the goal, we would probably, if we're honest, say something like this. This summarizes my life. I stress out because I have so many other goals that I think are important. Is that your life? I stress out because I have so many goals. And the goal of heaven is there too, but I have many, many other things on my to-do list. You know, we have a lot of goals in life, and it's not bad to set goals, obviously. You have financial goals so you can make a lot of money. And you have money now, and you have money in retirement, and money, 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 money. I'm sure you have financial goals. And we have career goals. I want to climb the ladder and get this job one day. And we have educational goals, especially for our children. I want you to get this kind of education so you can have a job and make a lot of money. And we probably have health and fitness goals of how I'm going to get in shape and do this and that. We all have various goals. You know, honestly, do you have any spiritual goals? How about reading the Bible through every year? Every year I'm going to read the entire Bible and start over the next year, and I'm going to grow in the Word of God and really know the Word of God so I don't sit around and say, I don't know, when someone asks me something. How about worshiping every week like the Bible commands? Remember the Sabbath day, not once a month or when it fits into your schedule, but remember the Sabbath day, and I will make it a goal. My family and I will worship God every week, if not twice a week, because we must hold on to Christ. We are compelled by his love to come and honor him, the King. That'd be a good goal. And what about maybe having devotions at home? I'm going to set aside a time 20 minutes to half hour or longer to pray, go over something in the catechism perhaps, teach Bible stories so my kids know a lot about the Bible. That's the most important thing. They know about a lot about their Lord and set a goal for that every day rather than just run off to soccer practice and every other practice that we got to get them to. Well, what about the goal of being a witnessing to at least one person every day? This is one of my goals. I'm going to tell someone every day that Jesus died and rose again for them and their salvation in the name of Jesus. Whoever it is, I'm going to tell at least one person every day of my life, for I am a Christian and they're going to know it, and I'm going to do it in love. You know, Ann goes and gets groceries from like Kroger, and she'll get 20 bags, those little plastic bags full of grocery items, and they'll be in the trunk, and it's my job to carry them into the house. And what will I try to do? Carry all 20 of them in one trip. So about 8 bags here, 8 bags here, and a couple bags in my mouth, on my toes if I could carry them on my toes, Pat. And what might happen at times? Splat, there goes the milk. And worse, splat, there goes the eggs. What are you doing? What's the solution? Carry less bags. Duh. You're busy. So many goals. Maybe cut some out that aren't really that important, that get in the way of the goal. Just a thought. Cut some things out. Focus on what's really important. Another way we could summarize life, which is the opposite of I stress out because I have so many goals, another way we could summarize life is to say, I do less and have no goals. I do less, I'm retired, I'm taking it easy, and I have no goals at all. That's often a reaction to the busyness of life. And certainly with spring break now upon us in school, there is a time for rest, certainly. We need vacation, we need rest, we need to just do nothing. God has made us that way. We need some rest. But we are reminded that being a Christian is 24/7, 365 every year of my life. It's not every once in a while when it fits into my schedule. But I am a Christian every day, every second, every moment. I'm a Christian. I don't cut back on Christianity. I don't retire from Christianity and serving God in some way. I don't cut back and retire from that. Show me one prophet who retired. One apostle that retired. They worked until they got killed or died. No one retires from Christianity. We ever press on and strain towards the goal. You know, Ann and I went to a seminar yesterday about historic homes. We are interested in that sort of thing. And a gal was talking about how to restore your home and buying and selling a historical home. And she mentioned in her bullet point presentation that one thing people don't want when they buy a home, one thing they don't want, she had it there on the smart board, one thing they don't want, a hot tub. And with that, a pool. No one wants your hot tub or your pool. They want the neighbor to have a hot tub and pool, but they don't want it when they buy one because it's too much work. They don't want it. It's work and it's maintenance. And I kind of disagree when it comes to the church. I think we want a big hot tub here at church. Warmth, comfort, take it easy, get a load of burdens off. Well, God does give us rest, the forgiveness of sins. But it's not a hot tub He gives us. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And that fire, I pray, would enkindle God's people. The fire of the Spirit would give us new zeal and new love that we press on and don't do less. We press on in the faith until the Lord calls me home. I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. I'm not going to rest 1 minute. I'm going to press on. May the fire of God's Spirit fill the church. May we not summarize our lives saying, I stress out or I do less. May we, with Paul as Christians, say, the one thing I do, I press on toward the goal. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The word here, press on, is a wonderful word. It's a sports term, which is why I like this text. You know I like sports. I think St. Paul likes sports a little bit. He uses that imagery as part of the Christian life. It's a race, a marathon. And the word press on, we would say in our language, means give 110%. Hold nothing back. Leave it all on the field. 110%, he is saying. Press on implies that. I'll do all I can, fill with God's Spirit, fill with God's love, all I can for my Lord until He takes me home and I get the prize. And he says, forgetting what lies behind, straining to what's ahead, I'm going to, strain, reach out for the tape. I'm near the end and I'm not going to just coast. I'm going to kick it in and go even faster for all you retired folks. At the end of a race, you don't rest. You kick it in and run even faster and strain until He calls you home. And there are two things that we give 110% for. Number one, to keep the faith. This is language of faith. And to keep the faith. Christ has made us His own, Paul says, in baptism. He made me His own. He put His arms around me. And may I make Him my own, which is faith. I'm going to give 110% to hear the Word of God and grow in the Word of God, for He has the words of eternal life. Nothing will get in the way of the Word of God in my life. And I will confess my sins and hear absolution. Nothing will get in the way of that, to confess and hear absolution. that my sins are forgiven and nothing will come between me and the table. I will come and eat of the body and drink of the blood, not when it fits in my schedule, but always because it's Christ and everything else is rubbish out there. I must have him. And this is the language of worship, of holding on to the word and the sacrament. I will press on and bring my children and my youth. Even if they don't feel like coming, I'm going to bring them. This is life, friends. This is your Savior. Hold on. Don't dangle it out there. I press on and keep the faith because he was pressed on at the cross. He was pressed on a cross for me. He had nails pressed in his hands for me. Nails pressed in his feet for me. A crown of thorns pressed on his head for me. A spear pressed and stuck into his side for me to save me, a wretch, to win my salvation. He was pressed on in the Garden of Gethsemane as he sweat blood under the pressure of my sin, my debt, my health, all for me. And because he was pressed on for me, I, compelled by his love, will press on for him in faith. And also, pressing on means I'll share it with others. Keep the faith. It's not easy to keep the faith through trials and tribulations. And then share the faith. And give 110% to pass on the faith to your children. This is critical. Pass on the faith to your children and your youth. And everybody else, but start there. And give 110%, not 20%, if that. What's the most important part of a relay race? We're in a relay race. We must pass the baton. You've seen relay races, track and field, probably in the Olympics now and then. What's the most important part of that race? The runner can be really, really fast, and the Americans always have really fast guys and gals. What's the most important part of the race? Passing the baton. If it gets dropped, you lose. If they don't pass it well, you lose. Pass the faith on. This is the critical time, parents, to pass the faith on. We give 110%. And to conclude, there are three great gifts God gives us to empower us to do this. Peace, power, and the prize. First of all, what empowers us is peace with God. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind. What runner runs looking backwards? And how can Paul forget what lies behind? Paul was a murderer. Paul persecuted the church. He imprisoned Christians. He ran after them like a wolf after lambs. He oversaw the death of Stephen, whom they stoned. He probably killed Christians himself, probably. How can he say, forgetting what lies behind? You're a murderer and a persecutor of the church, Paul. How can it happen? Because of the cross. He's forgiven. And when Paul writes these words, his mind's on the cross. Because of the cross, Jesus died for me. I move on beyond the past. I strain towards the future. We have peace with God. And then we have, secondly, the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I go to Weigel's or to Pilot, and people are buying these energy drinks and energy bars like they're going out of style. I've never bought one in my life, and maybe you can tell that. I don't know. I get coffee. And I eat Cracker Jacks. But all the energy drinks and energy bars, energy, energy, energy. This is the place of real energy. The Holy Spirit is our energy drink. He is our energy bar. May he give us fire. You have no excuse if you go to hell and your kids go to hell. You have a church here. And we teach and preach the Word of God. We baptize. We absolve sins and we give Holy Communion. And we give it a lot. You have no excuse. The power of the Holy Spirit is here, whether you think so or not. The power of the Holy Spirit works in word and sacrament to give new energy and new strength that I press on. We have peace with God, the power of the Spirit, no excuse. And then we have the prize. You need motivation. What about the prize of heaven? Not a sticker. The gold streets and pearly gates. You want heaven? Press on, don't quit. It's worth it. You want glory? Press on, don't quit. It's worth it. You want the resurrection of your body? Press on, don't quit. It's worth it. The sticker wasn't worth the candy, was it? Wasn't worth anything. And we know that with prizes. Heaven is worth it, isn't it? You want to see angels and archangels? You want to see your beloved ones who are in heaven? Press on. Don't quit. It's worth it. And bring your children. It's worth it, folks, to press on and don't quit. Bottom line, you quit the faith, you will have many cries in hell. You keep the faith, you'll have the prize in heaven. What say you? Don't say, I stress out because I have so many goals, or I do less and have no goals. May we say as Christians, I press on toward the goal. That's being a Christian. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our